in the year that Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. My God. Woo, hallelujah. And God is waiting for Uzziah to die again. Well, hallelujah. You can't preach this now in every church. I've had several revivals canceled out on me when I would preach this. Man, God won't share the throne with no man. Man has to die. Well, praise God. Don't mean to offend anybody, and yes, I guess I do. But this doctrine of the charismatic has absolutely been on the throne and is allowing God to be pushed back instead of being lifted up. Well, amen. And the majority of individuals believe that that's the right way. But it's not. Their doctrine is wrong. I ain't going to teach tonight, but there's something stirring in my spirit. When I see these things, I cannot keep quiet. That second veil has to be rent. Man has to get off of trying to tell God what to do. Even your prayer life is way off. You praying as if God's way over yonder somewhere. And you're separating yourself from God even in your prayers. Oh, hallelujah. God. You don't have to go or do anything, go nowhere. He is everywhere. And you act like he don't even know what's going on. You tell him what's happening. You pray and tell him, "Oh God, you know." But of course he knows. And you always asking him, "Father, now you go with me." And then some folks are so stupid they pray like old Jacob. Now, God, if you'll bless me on my journey, give me raiment to wear and food to eat. I'll pay you the tithes when I come back. Now that's where the church is living. They have to have yard sales. Well, praise God. If God had answered that prayer, he would never have got nothing but second-handed clothes. and food that was left over. Now, if that's the way you want to live, that's the way you'll have to endure. Well, hallelujah. There's a better way of life. Hallelujah. Have you ever read the second chapter of Ephesians? And verse 10? In the Amplified? All right, Bob, I want you to read it. Huh? Amen. Amplified.
For we are God's own handiwork.
Oh, you didn't hear it. We are God's
own handiwork.
Own handiwork. Oh, glory. Now, the next page.
His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus.
Now, if you're recreated, where's all this generational stuff comes in? I'm not the same McCurry that was born in the family of Lonnie and Bell McCurry. I'm a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, glory. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new
creature.
Creation. All things passed away. And then all things. The way the church preaches, all things are becoming new. That ain't what it said. They are new. Praise God. All right, let's go back to Ephesians. I want to get this verse in for you.
Born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined.
Oh, predestined. Foreordained.
Planned beforehand for us.
Look up and read that again.
That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us.
Planned beforehand. In other words, your life is already planned out. God's waiting for you to find that, the way to walk it out. And you can't do it by you grumbling and finding fault and how hard it is on me. And you don't know what I'm going through. I said, no, and I don't want to. I had a lady in our church in Sarasota, Florida. She was a chronic illness. Oh, every time, something wrong with her, all the time. Called me at 3 o'clock in the morning in the hospital. Pastor, come, I'm dying. I got dressed and went up there. And she said, well, this is it, Pastor. I'm going, I want you to pray for her. I said, Lord, kill her. Get her on out of the way. And she said, oh, whoa, don't pray that way. Well, I said you were ready to go, and he, and the Lord was taking you. I guarantee you that cured her. And that's the reason the folks in this assembly don't call on me when they're getting a problem. Because I say, God, that's right. Just increase it. Yeah, increase it. Give them more problems. I ain't praying for your problems to get away. The problems is to bring you in to where God wants you. Well, Well, God bless this poor saint. They don't deserve to be this. If they didn't deserve it, they wouldn't have it. Now do you see why we don't have too many members? Oh, hallelujah. I get so sick and tired of this old lovey-dovey psychology stuff. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Hallelujah.
Let's read the rest of that verse.
Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time.
He prepared these paths ahead of time.
That we should walk in them.
Walk in them.
Living the good life.
Oh, living the good life.
Which he prearranged.
He prearranged.
And made ready for us to live.
And made ready for us to live. Praise God. When will the church ever wake up out of their sleep and knowing the time? Paul said it's high time to awake out of sleep and arise from the dead. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let God arise. That's contradiction to the way the church is. They want it to come down. let the glory come down. I said, let it arise. Oh, glory to God. And when you let him arise, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. Living water. And when them rivers goes flowing without out of your innermost being, yeah, you can reach into that river, pull up a handful of gold, and the gold of that land is pure. Amen. Reach down to that river, put up a handful of jewels. Well, hallelujah. Whatever you need is within you. You are a walking warehouse of the goodness of God. Okay. I'm baiting the trap. And I want you to know, praise God. Hallelujah.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Let me just read a scripture in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the 7th chapter. This took place when the children of Israel were coming back to restore pure worship to God, and they were filtered some people that could not show that they were of the right seed. In chapter 7 of Nehemiah, verse 61, and this were they which went up also from Talmala, Talmasha, and other names there. Yeah. But they could not show their father's house, nor their seed, whether they were of Israel. They couldn't show that they were of the seed that was supposed to be in the city of Jerusalem. And then he gives the names of the ones that
has the right birthright.
Right. But in verse 63, and of the priest, the ministry, the children of Hebiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name. Now that would cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
A lot of problems. And the reason they did this is because in Babylon everything goes.
That's right.
In Babylon everything goes. It doesn't matter who ministers, and because they train themselves to be ministers. But in this hour,
the
Holy Spirit is the one that is going to train us.
Yes.
So there was also some priest that changed their name. It would be like Brother G.C. taking Tanya's father's name upon him when they married, instead of Tanya taking G.C.'s father's name upon her. You see, this is what they did. And it's an abomination in the natural, but it's worse in the spirit.
Right.
I know that Mrs. Clinton was not named Clinton until after Bill Clinton began to run for president. Because there's some perversion in there. A woman doesn't want to take the name of her husband upon her. And this is not good. But this is what some priests did. Instead of they bestowing the name of their father upon their wives, they took the name of their wives' father upon them. So naturally, they saw their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. They changed the name. They couldn't. It could have been that they were of the right seed, but because they were not faithful, they were not a faithful priest to bestow the name of their father upon their wife. They changed their name. So therefore, they put as polluted from the priesthood. So they had no real ministry to the real seed of God. And in this hour, God is also doing the same.
Amen.
He's cleansing his ministry. And only those that endeavor to bestow their father's name upon the wife would be found in the book to be real ministry.
Amen.
But then the next thing you see, and the Tirshata, which is the governor, said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things, till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. Now, if we are a people that are endeavoring to eat of what's behind the veil, in the most holy place, that can only be done if that priest, that high priest, would stand in the midst of us. For he would be the only one that would be able to give us to eat of the most holy things. Because we're in the time of change. And he has a spirit word of life that is sent to you and to me in order for us to be changed. Now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was in a very strong, mighty way this morning. There were some changes being caused in our lives. That meant that the high priest stood in the midst of us and he began to dispense into you and to me those things that can actually change your nature, change you. Because you see, God is changing a people. God doesn't change. We must change. He already knows what's good. You and I are learning to discern what's good and what's not good. So therefore, if we're going to be a people that in every convention or meeting, every meeting that we come together, we must endeavor to go beyond the first tabernacle experience. All those are good things. Prophecy is a good thing. Anointings are good things. The bread on the table is a good thing. The burning of the incense is good. But if we are satisfied with that and don't pursue that the high priest will stand and open the veil. I did not know how the high priest would take the censer in one hand and the blood in the other hand, and how would he go into the most holy place to mingle the life of the Lamb with the mercy seat, or the goal of the mercy seat, which is God's divine life. And the Spirit made me know that when the incense was being borne on that golden altar and also in the censer, the five material substances that makes the frankincense, that's where I find my name, frankincense. You see, that's it. But frankincense, it's put on the coals of fire to be burned up and become spiritual odors that will ascend in behind the veil. And when that happens, God from the inside the veil will open the veil, that the priest may go in and mingle, you see, the life of Christ, which is the life of the Lamb, with the God, with the nature of God. And brother, when that happens, hallelujah, you come out of every meeting a little more merciful, a little more loving, a little more full of the life of God, because the Christ of God that is within you has been mingled with the divine nature of God that He is unfolding within His people. This is why this principle must be established in us, that we must understand that there will be no eating of the most holy things unless the high priest that wears the Urim and the Thummim upon his heart stands in the midst of us, and he will dispense to you and to me, hallelujah, those truth and that life that will actually is causing some changes in our life. I felt that it was not just the man ministering to us this morning, but the man that stands in the presence of Almighty God is standing in the midst of us. We have a man that stands in the presence of Almighty God, and he stands in the midst of us with a message, a good news, a message of life. And what's on trial in this hour is not your experiences of the past. What's on trial is not the experiences, good or bad. What's on trial is the trial of your faith. Can you believe that God can do what He is revealing that He will do? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you believe that He can keep you without falling? Can you believe that He can keep you without sinning? Hallelujah. Without going back into the old traditions of your flesh creation, but stand true inside of you until all the veil of the flesh will be totally rent from top to bottom. Glory. Oh, yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Those five material substances that makes the frankincense, they're material. But they're broken. Crutch. Made powder. That's a type and a revelation that those material substances is the Christ. See, when God commanded Moses to make the anointing oil, He specified the different natures of every substance to make the anointing oil. That simply means to you and to me that there's different natures of anointing. You must not try to pattern after our brother. You must not try to do something that the anointing that has been worked in you has not yet qualified you to do that you think you can do. But if you do move in the anointing, it's the same anointing, but in different natures. Brother J.C. can keep us here for 3 hours. Me, I can 30 minutes. But do you see, different natures of anointing, I'm not talking about nature. I'm talking about anointings. That God has anointed you in the Christ for a specific function in the benefit of the rest of the body. You see, and if you're faithful, you don't have to stay in the same nature. No, sir. You can begin as a lay worker and give yourself to God until God will send you as an apostle. There's no limit in God. You see? But it starts at the beginning. Progressively, the anointing begins to grow. So, in the anointing oil, there's different measures. But when he said, make the frankincense, he specified equal measures. You see, why? Because in Christ, there's not big I's and little U's. We have the same measure. But what makes us acceptable in meetings like this is you bring of the incense that you are and mingle it together on the fire of the golden altar, and that material substance that comes from Canada, from Mississippi, from California, and from Texas, all of us come together bringing our part of the incense, that equal measure, and we put it together on the fire of God's divine intention, brother.
Yes.
Will consume the material substance, and it becomes a spiritual substance that would be acceptable before Almighty God. And you and I will go out of this place a total changed people. Ah, yes, glory to God. For his bringing us into His glory. He wants to express Himself in the earth. Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda and says, would you be healed? And what are you talking about? I've been trying to get in the pool for 38 years. But He answered, I have no man.
No man
to put me in the water when the angel of the Lord stirs up the water. See, and he says, another jumps in before I do. And that other, in every move of God, has been our flesh man.
That's the truth.
I'm not speaking to your intellect.
That's right.
I'm not speaking to your natural mind. You must never think that these meetings are to give you a big head of natural understandings of the scriptures. What you're here is that your inner man of the spirit may be quickened with life. For it is life. Have you ever seen Jesus' message in the Gospels? He only had one message.
Right.
A message of life.
Yes.
Divided in two parts.
Yes.
Life in the kingdom.
Yes.
You see? And he was not only a preacher of the kingdom and of life. He was endeavoring to be that life.
Right.
He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the life and resurrection. He is the tree of life. He is everything that is eternal, incorruptible life. You see, and this is why when he taught those people in his day, they just wanted to masticate him real good. Kill him. Why? Because people rather believe in death than life. So, if you want to go to heaven, we'll pray for you tonight. that you die quickly. Go on with flying colors. Don't make the life of other people miserable. I mean, just give up the ghost. Go to heaven and wait until we get you back here again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, God made me to know by the Spirit that it was God Himself opening the veil from the inside. And that takes you out of the frustration as a minister with people, with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with the people. That gives you rest. Because after all, you can't change them. You'll try to work him over, apply the law, apply everything that you know, and they still don't change. Because you see, what's done in the first tabernacle, signifying by the Holy Ghost, that there were only instruments preparing, you see, the way until the high priest, hallelujah, will enter behind the second veil. And we said to you last night that the second veil is you. It's your flesh nature. Behind the second veil stands the mercy seat. Inside of you is the mercy seat of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's overshadowed by cherubims of glory. Hallelujah. It's an ever-present reality. It's not something that you think about once in a while. It's something that is springing forth in the inside of you every moment of every day, glory to God. There's nothing more important than this. You have discovered that this is life. Life now. Inside of you is the Ark of the Covenant. Wood, humanity, overlaid inside and on the outside with God's divine nature. You see, your humanity and my humanity, you see, are going to be covered inside and outside with Himself. Hallelujah. God's divine nature. That is what it's awaiting a people that don't lose the way. But their focus, they have set their faces aflint, and they can hear no other voice to distract them with lesser tangents, doctrines of the Bible, even doctrines of grace, doctrines of mercy, doctrines of righteousness. This is not a doctrine. Hallelujah. This is the life, brother. This is righteousness. This is glory. This is wisdom. Hallelujah. This is holiness. Holiness, glory to God. And it's already inside of you and I. It's not going to come one day. It's already in there. But you see, let me give you this. Christ in you has been a sealed word. No generation of people, not even the efficient church, was the most spiritual church of the first century, that God could open to them understanding of the fullness of God. They left their first love. And Jesus writes to them, you got many good things, but you're deviated. And from that day to this day, Christ in you has been a sealed word. A life that has been sealed. No man, no group of people in 2,000 years has ever been released in the full potential of what's already inside the people of God. Man has died short of the glory of God. I'm not talking about the sinner. I'm talking about every saint of God, every martyr of Jesus, every apostle, every prophet, every man to this day has died short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Until there is a people that will not deviate from the main thrust. God has called you. Call us for this specific hour. I feel, Brother G.C., that though the inner coverings of Jesus was parted in four parts, the north, the east, the west, and the south, whosoever will may come. Drink of the waters freely. It's for you. But when it comes to the sinless robe, the robe that has no beginning or no ending, a covering that develop on the man Jesus, you see, and virtue flew out of that tunic. The soldiers, not because, hallelujah, they were doing it. You see, they did nothing to Jesus that he himself had already prophesied about.
Right.
Prophesied that his garments would be parted, but they would cast lots upon his vesture. And they cast lots upon his vesture, and the Bible doesn't reveal who took the inner part of the dress, which is the inner righteousness, which is what you'll receive when you become a new creation. He took that, but he also took the seamless robe. This is to signify by the Holy Ghost. I must be crazy to believe this. I have to be. I believe that the lot has been cast upon us. The lot has been cast upon this generation. Not only to experience the inner righteousness, which is glory and power and life, but also the outer covering. For the mystery of godliness must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. God manifested in flesh. Glory to God. You see. This signified by the Holy Ghost that the lot was going to be cast upon a generation. And in this generation, there will be a body of people that will be robed with a nature that has no beginning and no ending. But it is the nature of the Father, the glory of the Father come upon. But that any one of us get any false ideas, no individual will wear this robe. It has to be a corporate man. It has to be a body of people. Let me tell you what that means to me. What it means to me is that I need you more than what you need me. Because I'm just one member in the body. You are the body. And the body can go on without that member. They just operated on my wife. Took out the gallbladder that has been dead for, been dying progressively for the last 3 years until the gallbladder died. And nobody knew. The doctors couldn't figure it out after they put tests, every kind of test. They showed that the gallbladder was perfect until they put it under the last machine that they had come up with, and they shot into her veins radioactive fluid to lighten the gallbladder, because something told them that it could be, but they were not sure. And before they can probe into you, they gotta be sure what they're going after. They cannot just open you and say, well, this is...